Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 21st day of August, 2024. Before I introduce to you my guest and our topic for the day, I want to remind all men in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which will be held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. We are featuring for the very first time ever a Dr. Joe Boot, who is a world-renowned author, conference speaker, and founder and president of the Ezra Institute. Not only is your admission free of charge and your opportunity to hear what will no doubt be a powerful and edifying message from Dr. Boot free of charge, and your time of rest, relaxation, refreshment, fun, fellowship, and feasting, all free of charge. On top of all that, everybody gets a free heavy sack of brand new books personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. And if you would like to attend this free pastor's luncheon, if you are a man in ministry leadership, whether you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Please give me not only your name, but the name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. Let's try to beat the record that we broke on our last pastor's luncheon. We had over 250 in attendance when Dr. Joel Beakey of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, was our keynote speaker. So let's try to even top that amazing number of people who attended. That's Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. I hope to see many of you men in ministry leadership there. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled, as I always am, whenever I have this frequently returning guest on the program. His name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. He is definitely no stranger to the listeners of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, especially if they listen regularly, since he is on so often, and he's on so often because he is just a phenomenal guest. And that's not only my opinion, but a growing number of you in the audience are recognizing that fact and letting me know about it. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the author of the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity. And today he's going to be addressing the English Reformation of the 1660s, what the American church in the 21st century can learn from it. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
It's always an enjoyment to be with you, Chris.
Well, why don't you remind our listeners about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia.
Cumming, Georgia is the county seat of Forsyth County, which is just outside the northern edge of metropolitan Atlanta. Our church is about 10 years old. We started with about 25 people, and now on Sunday we have anywhere from 55 to 75. And we continue to grow. We have many young adults that are aggressive and zealous in and always active in advancing the kingdom of God and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a member of a small denomination called Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery, that has 20 or so churches all over the country. We are thoroughly committed to the inerrancy of Scripture, to the carrying out of the Great Commission, and our doctrinal statement is the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms, written in the 1640s. Our people come from every kind of background. We are very involved in evangelism and world missions, and it is a joy to be the pastor of this people.
Amen. Well, if you live in the Cumming, Georgia area, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones who do, or if you're just passing through that area and you want to visit a solid church on the Lord's Day, you can visit their website to find out more about them and to get directions. HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com, HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com. Also, if you want to find out more about the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity, which has been written by my guest, Dr. Joseph C. Markgraff III, you could go to WestminsterCommentary.com. WestminsterCommentary.com. And for all of Dr. Moorcraft's books, booklets, and other things about him, go to ComprehensiveChristianity.com, ComprehensiveChristianity.com, and God willing, we will repeat that information later on in the program. And I'm going to give our listeners our email address right away in the event that they have a question for Dr. Moorcraft. It is Chris Arnzen at gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N at gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, as I've already announced, our theme today, by your selection, is the English Reformation of the 1660s, and what the American church in the 21st century can learn from it. That is a tight window of history, the 1660s. If you could, obviously, let us know why this period of time is so important for even Christians over, or a little less than, I should say, 400 years later.
Well, it is of the whole area from the 16th century through the 17th century are the two centuries that defined what America would be in its earliest days. And if we don't understand what went on in the 16th and 17th centuries, the 1500s and the 1600s, we will never understand what we were meant to be. And I love history. It has been my life. I read books on history all the time. I have 55 lectures on the history of the church from the first century to the 18th on sermonaudio.com. That can be had for nothing, of course. There's 25 more lectures on there on John Calvin and his friends, the people of that his day that we don't normally think of. So those are all available on Sermon Audio. I might say one other thing really quickly. We found something we didn't know we had this week. We found hundreds and hundreds of MP3s and CDs of sermons and lectures, and we found scores and scores of books that I have written, and they're all available for free.
Wow.
If you will call The number at Heritage Presbyterian Church. The lady that will answer the phone will tell you all about them.
Wow.
But anyway, history is one of the most important things we can study. History at Christians for a long time, up until the late 20th century, had just neglected their history. And as a result, we made a lot of mistakes. We were swayed by our enemies. Christians in the last half of the 20th century and today, by and large, most of them, see Christianity as a pond that is for the shallows, that it, what we believe and practice in Christian churches today, the way it always has been done, which of course is in error, that Christianity is a river that has been flowing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we have forgotten to study that river. And as a result, we have become stagnant. We have become polluted. Our little pond is full of mosquito larvae. And it's covered with algae. And if you drink it, you'll die. So it's very important for Christians to understand the theology of the Bible and the history that that theology created. I want to begin with two introductory remarks. The first is a sentence by a man named Houghton in D'Aubigné's introduction in his book, The History of the Reformation in England. And he said this: "He who does not know what has happened in his past will forever remain a child." That is, immature, undiscerning, led by emotions, no understanding about his place in the role of God's kingdom. And so most Christians today are children because they don't understand what has happened in the past. How do we come to where we are today? Why are things so bad in the United States today? Why are things that are good, good in the United States today? We must understand our past, or we will forever remain the child. The second thing is, I want to read the definition of history for you. That Isaiah, and it's in the 25th chapter of Isaiah, and the first verse. "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name." Here's the definition of history: "For thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness." So history is the record of the wonder-working power of Almighty God carrying out his eternal plans with absolute perfect faithfulness to his word. Let me say it one more time in case somebody's taking notes, which I hope they are. That history is the record of God's wonder-working power carrying out eternal plans long ago with perfect faithfulness to his word. A person that doesn't know history doesn't know God. He may read the Bible a lot, may go to church a lot. If he doesn't know history, he's not going to make much about what he reads the Bible. It's going to be superficial, shallow, and more influenced by the reigning philosophies of our day than by that word. The more you understand history, the more you'll love God, the more you'll appreciate his greatness and his power, and that he moves all things along by his powerful word. Christ holds all things together. So history, as somebody said, is his story. It's the story of the omnipotent power of God carrying out his plans in perfect faithfulness to his word. And I'd like for us to talk today about one of the most important eras in the history of our church and in the history of Christianity. In the year, in the 5th century, Augustine and his writings were used by God to bring about a great revival that we still experience. His books still sell by the thousands in the 21st century, and they were written in the 4th and the 5th. Before Augustine, the Greeks had no appreciation for history. They didn't care about history. They had no place for the history of individuals and their philosophical thought. And so as a result, the church backslid from its early days. So then Augustine writes his book on the city of God, his book on confessions, and many other books, and recovered history, recovered the importance of the individual. And since that time, history of people have appreciated what history means. There was a book that was on the New York Times bestseller for months called How the Irish Saved Christianity.
Wow, I actually purchased that book as a gift for someone, and I've got to get my own copy and read that.
Well, the first half is on Augustine. How the Irish Saved Civilization, that's the name of it. And so as long as Augustine was the dominant force in the church of that day, there were great things that happening. And then at about the 12th or 13th century, people quit reading Augustine and started reading a man named Thomas Aquinas. Augustine's premise was, on the basis of which he wrote everything, was you cannot understand anything in all of life without the Word of God. That the Bible is the all-sufficient Word, and it is the basis for all knowledge in all areas. As long as the church believed that, there was strength. But then with the coming of Thomas Aquinas, the church left Augustinianism and started believing, well, you need the Bible for some things, but you don't need the Bible to understand everything. And so with that, you have the Middle Ages, that went on for 1,000 years, where the church just abandoned its roots in Scripture, betrayed the people that it was supposed to shepherd, lost any biblical vision. Of course, I'm talking about the medieval church, the Roman Catholic Church. And it stayed under Thomas Aquinas' influence, so that the Word of God was not the supreme authority in all areas of life. Human reason was. And so eventually that darkness got deeper and deeper with the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, first of all. The Renaissance said, well, Mr. Aquinas, if you don't need the Bible to understand some areas of life, you don't need the Bible to understand any area of life. And so the Renaissance was a complete betrayal of Christianity.
Wow.
And made man the reason of all things, the measure of all things. So the basis of knowledge was human reason. And it threw aside Christianity. It no longer believed in divine revelation. And then God raised up some great preachers in the 16th century. In the 1500s, God raised up men that shook the West back to its roots. So that one of those men, John Calvin, said in Geneva, Switzerland, So I'm just an Augustinian. In other words, he said, we're going to go back over the head of the Renaissance, over the head of Thomas Aquinas, and go back to Augustine in the Bible and reemphasize the fact that the Word of God is the supreme and final authority in all areas of life and knowledge. And with that, you have the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. Europe had been in darkness for 1,000 years. It believed what the Roman Catholic Church taught. And so it was really in darkness for 1,000 years.
In fact, could we pick up right where you left off there when we come back from our first commercial break? Just don't forget that we have arrived at the point where the world has been in darkness for 1,000 years. And if you are listening and have a question of your own, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. We'll be right back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III right after these messages. Don't go away.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, on top of the monthly financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already automatically provides for Iron Trip and Zion Radio each and every month, on top of that, they are giving us this enormous, mind-blowing bonus. RoyalDiadem.com is giving Iron Trip and Zion Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Trip and Zion Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Trip and Zion Radio when they make their purchase of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. Whether it's a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry, or whether it's jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, whether it's for yourself or someone you love, if you mention Iron Trip and Zion Radio, we get 100% of the profits. Please go to RoyalDiadem.com today. Even if you're not making your purchase of jewelry final today, to at least get the ball rolling on a purchase, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits. So go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Trip and Zion Radio. We're now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft, the third pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and also author of the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity. We are discussing the English Reformation of the 1660s, and right before the break, you were talking about how the church beginning to identify more with the teachings of Thomas Aquinas over that of Augustine, you believe plunged the world into a period of darkness that lasted 1,000 years, and this was also largely due to the replacement of the Bible in the understanding of the populace with the brilliance, wisdom, and ingenuity of men. And if you could be also more specific about the time period when you say 1,000 years of darkness, what time frame are we talking about?
We're talking about right after Augustine's death, which was in the early part of the 5th century, to the beginning of the 16th century.
Okay.
After darkness came light.
Post tenebris lux.
Yes, sir. And light came from men that God raised up to go back to the original, to go back to the Word of God, to go back over the heads of the Renaissance people and the Thomas Aquinas people and the Roman Catholic Church, and go back to the pure fountain of the Word of God. And it accelerated with Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door at Wittenberg, Germany, and a printer printing them in German and setting all of Europe, Northern Europe, on fire. how the Reformation got to England. That's where we're going to talk about today. How the Reformation got to England is a fantastic story of the utter sovereignty of God's grace. England had in the before the 16th century, there were several men that God used to prepare them for it. One was the Christians on the island of Iona, Scotland, off the southwest coast of Scotland in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th century. And that little group of people on an island 3 miles long and 1 mile wide had universal influence. They were attacked by the Roman Catholic. They were attacked by the Vikings. And so they fled to the mountains of Scotland and maintained their church through all of those centuries. They didn't come under the supremacy of the Pope. And then in about the 13th or 14th century, a man named John Wycliffe translated the Bible into English and raised up an organization of evangelists called the Lollards to take the English Bible and the gospel to all of England. And the first people to follow them and to be influenced by them were these Chaldees, these ancient cultic Christians who'd been hiding out in the mountains for centuries trying to maintain the faith. So they were influenced by John Wycliffe and the Lollards.
Now, when you said cultic, did you mean Celtic?
Celtic, C-E-L-T-I-C.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah. We got to get that straight. And that would be a shame if I was misunderstood. And so then God raised up a man named William Tyndale. And whereas Wycliffe translated the Bible out of the Latin Vulgate, Tyndale translated the Bible out of the Hebrew and Greek. And that's the beginning of Reformation. Henry VIII was king of England in the first part of the 16th century. Henry VIII was a tyrant. I think probably the worst and most wicked king England had ever had. He was a bloodthirsty tyrant. And I say bloodthirsty because he would burn at the stake Wycliffe's followers. And he outlawed William Tyndale's Bible. But he basically, God used him to bring revival to England. In that, Henry VIII wanted to get a divorce. He was married to a woman, and he fell in love with another woman named Anne Boleyn, fell in love with her, and he wondered, how can he get rid of his first wife, Catherine? He's got to get rid of her, but the Roman Catholic Church doesn't believe in divorce. So he tried to get the Pope's permission. The Pope wouldn't give him permission. He tried to get permission from all kinds of leaders, Roman Catholic leaders throughout Europe, and they wouldn't give it to him. So they said, okay, forget you. So he left the Roman Catholic Church so that he could divorce his first wife and marry the second. And, of course, when he got divorced, he got excommunicated by the Pope. So he started the Church of England, which was Roman Catholic in all of its doctrines, except it did not recognize the supremacy of the Pope. The new Pope, so to speak, the new head of the church, was Henry VIII. And the English monarch has been the head of the Church of England ever since that time, only with one exception, and that is Oliver Cromwell. But he declares himself head of the church, and if you don't agree with that, you get burned at the stake. He even burned the stake one of his dear friends, Thomas More, who would not renounce the supremacy of the church. And so he was a bloodthirsty killer. And he married this woman. Somebody lied about her, told him she was unfaithful. So he had her beheaded so he could marry somebody else. So there's six wives in Henry VIII's life. The last one outlived him. But he killed two, three of them. So he was lecherous, self-centered. He wrote a book on, before he left the Roman Catholic Church, he wrote a book defending the Roman Catholic faith. And the Pope gave him a great honor for doing so.
Yeah, he was called Defender of the Faith by Rome.
Sir?
He was called officially by the Pope the Defender of the Faith.
Correct. And so, they're free. England is free from the Pope's influence. And so that gave a little bit of freedom to the people that were followers of Luther and Calvin to preach and to spread the Reformation faith. Henry VIII, Archbishop of Canterbury, was a man named Thomas Cranmer, one of my heroes. For the life of me, I'm not sure why he liked Thomas Cranmer, because Thomas Cranmer was a solid Calvinist.
Yes.
But he held the highest position in the Church of England. And Henry VIII depended upon him a great deal. And the only reason Thomas Cranmer did not lose his head in all this stuff is because he compromised and said that the king could get a divorce. But the priests of the Church of England couldn't preach, fortunately, because they didn't believe the truth. So Thomas Cranmer took advantage of his situation and wrote a book of sermons and had Henry require that all the priests in the Church of England preach his sermons every Sunday. So even though these priests didn't know anything, totally ignorant of the Bible and Christianity, every Sunday, in church after church all over England, Thomas Cranmer's Reformed sermons were read by these preachers.
Wow.
And so you see the sovereignty of God and how the Reformation began to spread in England. Even though Henry was no friend of its doctrine. And it spread by God in his sovereignty using this lecherous, bloodthirsty man. Also, he had William Tyndale killed because he didn't like Tyndale's English translation of the Bible. Tyndale's last prayer was, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." 1 year later, Henry required that at least one English translation of the Bible must be in every church. They just didn't put Tyndale's name on it. So William Tyndale caused the English Bible to spread all over England. Thomas Cranmer caused the Word of God to be preached by people who didn't even believe it. And so it began to spread. Henry died. The next in line was to be his daughter, Mary, whom history calls Bloody Mary. Mary was a devout Roman Catholic. She believed every doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. She believed in the supremacy of the Pope. And so the Protestants in England were trying to think of everything they could do to keep Mary from being the next monarch of England, although she was supposed to be by law, being Henry's daughter. So they conspired and realized there was another, more distant heir to the throne, a young woman by the name of Jane. History's called her Lady Jane. I'm getting ahead of myself. After Henry died, Henry had daughters, and he was always trying to get a son, and he had one. And so Henry died, and his son became the King of England. His name was Edward VI. And Edward VI was a Protestant. He was a godly young man. One of his teachers was Cranmer. One of his teachers was John Knox. And Edward VI was a godly Calvinist. Sickly. Died in his teens. But under him, the gospel and the Reformed faith and the Reformation spread like fire. Edward VI would get these great Reformed scholars from the continent of Europe and bring them to England to teach the preachers and other people. Got Martin Bucer, who was a great German reformer, but hadn't been heard of much today. One of my favorite reformers. He got Martin Bucer to come to England. And Martin Bucer, the German, had written a book in English called The Reign of Christ, in Latin called De Regno Christi. You can buy that book still today at places like Barnes & Noble, Westminster Press, places like that. It's called Melanchthon and Bucer. But it's worth getting just to read the last part, Bucer's book called The Reign of Christ. What the purpose of that book was to teach the King of England how to bring reformation to every area and institution in England's life by means of the law and the gospel. It is a great book. It's a great book to read. He taught the king how to apply the laws of the Old Testament and New Testament to the state and nation of England. He taught them the implications of the Lordship of Christ and of the gospel for the institutions and people of England. And that book had such an impact upon Edward VI that it caused Edward to try to reform the whole educational system of England. He had an Italian reform person with him. His name was Peter Martyr Vermilia. He was a brilliant scholar. And he had him come to England and teach. And you say, well, how in the world did people that are Italians and Germans teach these English-speaking people? Everybody spoke Latin. Everybody read in Latin. And so he brought these scholars there. God raised up more English preachers. And so the Bible was greatly accelerated. And the Reformation was greatly accelerated under Edward VI. But he was sickly. And he didn't last long, and he died in his teens. Now the problem is, who's going to succeed Edward VI? The next one by law to follow was Mary, whom history's called Bloody Mary because she burned all the hundreds of Protestants at the stake. And Mary, but her name was Lady Jane. She was a distant cousin. She had a distant claim on the throne. She was a young teenager. And so the Protestants in England convinced a dying Edward VI to appoint his cousin Jane to succeed him as Queen of England. So she became the queen. And she was queen, and she was of the Reformation. She could read the Bible in Greek. And she loved the writings of the Reformers. And she was a godly young woman. But she was king for only 9 days. Because Mary was the more powerful of the two. Mary had great lords supporting her, who had armies. And so Mary got all of her support together and dethroned Jane. And eventually had her head cut off. There's a great movie that's basically historically correct called Lady Jane. Her name was Lady Jane Grey. Calvin thought she was a very godly young woman. One of the Roman Catholic archbishops came to her 2 or 3 days before she was to be beheaded. She was in prison. And the archbishop said to her, "Your Majesty, even though I am a Roman Catholic and you are a Protestant, because of your godliness, I expect us to meet each other in heaven." Lady Jane Grey said to the archbishop, "I will never see you in heaven."
Wow.
"For you will be in hell."
Wow.
So she was a courageous young woman. And after her 9 days, there's 2 or 3 good books on Lady Jane Grey. There's the movie on late called Lady Jane. And so Mary Stuart follows her. And as I said, Mary Tudor was a devout Catholic, hated Protestants. And so she would begin her mission of purging the Church of England of all Protestants.
I think we should pick up where you left off there so I don't have to interrupt you mid-sentence.
Okay.
And because we have to go to the midway break now. And please be patient with us, folks. The midway break is always a little longer because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this show every day, they are compelled by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, where they're located, and they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air on their end. We, on the other hand, on our end, simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers, keeping in mind that our advertisers and the finances that come through them are what keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Please never forget that. And also, obviously, use this time to write in your questions to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Moorcraft after these messages.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, You can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And allow me to highlight a couple of excellent books that beautifully reflect our conversation today on the English Reformation. By the way, solid-ground-books.com has a very, very wide selection of books about the English Reformation and by English Reformers. They have books written by Christian authors dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward throughout the centuries to our current modern day, including such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. But let me highlight a couple of books that reflect our theme. This is a three-volume set that you can get for less than $100. This is The History of Protestantism, a glorious record of the grand drama of revived Christianity by James A. Wiley. I would highly recommend that book, or that three-volume set, I should say. And as I said, it is less than $100, and that's $80 off retail price. Especially for our hymn lovers out there, the book Rock of Ages, Augustus Toplady, the Little Known Man Behind the Well-Known Hymn by Thomas Isham. And you could get many books, some of which are lost treasures from history that were not even available to the body of Christ for centuries, some of them, until solid-ground-books.com rediscovered them and brought them back into print. So please go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase generously. And please always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Dr. Joseph C. Markgraf III and our conversation today about the English Reformation of the the 1660s. I have some important reminders for you. Folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm begging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address from your local post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia does, where my guest is the pastor, well, as long as whatever it is you want to advertise, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, private practice like a law firm, medical firm, a special event, whatever the case may be, as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, I always want my listeners to remember, no matter how desperately and urgently we need your financial support, I never want members of my audience to give your own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day because you want to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, never cut in to the finances that you have set aside specifically for your Lord's Day giving to your local church in order to bless us. Never do that. And also, if you are personally struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is extremely clear that we are primarily responsible to use God's money, which he has blessed us to share with him. We're primarily to use that money to support our church, where we are a member, and our family. And providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love this show and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes. Well, if you love this show, don't want it to disappear, please share some of that money with us so that we don't go off the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind our listeners that the church where I was formerly a member before I moved to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, is having their Courageous Marriage Seminar this Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. And if you would like to register, go to gracereformbaptistchurch.org, gracereformbaptistchurch.org. The Courageous Marriage Conference features best-selling author Dr. Joe Rigney, and I hope as many of you as possible will attend this special conference. And I've been told that if you cannot afford the registration fee, if you call Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, they may be able to work something out where they give you a discount or even less than that. Please go to gracereformbaptistchurch.org, find out more about the conference this Friday and Saturday, and also register. And last but not least, if you are not the member, not a member, of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, no matter where you live in the entire world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, that are doctrinally sound. And that may be you too, no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I may be able to help you find a church even close to you. It is possible, as I've done many times. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Markgraf III on our conversation on the English Reformation of the 1660s. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Before I go to any listener questions, I want you to pick up where you left off. It had to do with the execution of Lady Jane Grey, who was a faithful Protestant, and she was executed at the demand of Bloody Mary, who was a Roman Catholic. And if you would please pick up where you left off.
Yes, sir. Now, there's one person that I need to mention that's in the midst of all this, and that is the great John Knox.
Yes.
When people think of John Knox, they think of a Scottish reformer. And he was a Scottish reformer, but long after he passed middle age. In his early years or middle age years, he was a great English reformer. He was a teacher of King Edward VI, continued to minister even under Mary. And yet he realized that she was burning at the stake the great Protestant leaders. So he fled England. Even though he didn't want to, his friends made him flee. And he went as a Marian exile. Hundreds of Marian exiles were those Calvinists that fled England under Bloody Mary. Went to Strasbourg, where there was the first English Puritan church in Strasbourg. But he didn't stay there long because they wanted an Anglican liturgy, and he didn't want an Anglican liturgy. So he went to Geneva. Calvin was there as a teacher and a preacher. So he started an English Puritan church in Geneva, and he studied under John Calvin, and men in the congregation of that English Puritan church in Geneva were the ones that translated the great Geneva Bible upon which the United States was built. The United States, everybody should have a Geneva Bible. It predates the King James Version. And that's another story we're going to get to in a second, I hope. So he stayed there in Geneva for a while until he realized it was safe for him to go back to England, and then he did. So Bloody Mary has killed Lady Jane. Bloody Mary has also had the great Thomas Cranmer burn the stake. You remember that was her father's dear friend and Archbishop of Canterbury. I think that Thomas Cranmer, by the way, led Henry VIII to Christ on his deathbed.
Yes, I've heard that.
Henry was dying. And, of course, Thomas Cranmer would not leave his side. And the whole time, Thomas Cranmer, great Protestant that he was, would witness to him and present the gospel to him. And it was obvious that Henry wasn't going to live long, so Thomas Cranmer said, "Your Majesty, give me some sign that you believe in Jesus." And so the great Henry VIII squeezed Thomas Cranmer's hand. And Cranmer understood that as being, "Yes, I am a Christian now." So we may see Henry VIII in heaven. So Thomas Cranmer, Bloody Mary had to get rid of because of his powerful influence. He was an old man, and so they threatened him with being burned at the stake if he did not renounce his Protestant faith. That scared this old man so much that he wrote down on a piece of paper that he was renouncing his Protestant faith. But they said, "You renounce your faith or we'll kill you." They decided to burn him at the stake anyway.
Well, I heard that he renounced his recantation of Protestantism first.
Yeah, that's the great story. So he's standing there ready to be tied to the stake. And they said, now we want you to renounce your public, your Protestant faith publicly before these all witnesses, before we burn you to stake. Thomas Cranmer said, so many words, I renounce my renunciation. I'm a Protestant, but I still believe what I've always believed. So right before they tied him to the stake, he took his hand and he stuck it into the flames, because that was the hand he renounced the faith with. And he kept his hand there as that cursed hand that betrayed Christ and held it in the flames until it burned off. And then they tied him in the flames and burned him to death. So he was a great, great Christian martyr. So Henry, Mary didn't reign long, praise the Lord. She burned to the stake about 300 Protestants. She had a miserable death. She had some kind of condition, tumorous condition. She always wanted a baby. And this condition had all of the symptoms of pregnancy. So she would get all excited about having a baby, and lo and behold, it was just this disease. So she died a miserable woman. And then she was replaced by her great sister, Elizabeth, half-sister. Elizabeth was the Queen of England and was one of the greatest of all the monarchs. She reigned throughout the last half of the 16th century. She did not persecute the Protestants. So the Reformation continued to spread under her. Her concern was simply to keep her crown and keep the head upon which that crown sat. Because her mother was beheaded, she had to be behead her cousin Mary, Queen of Scots, for a plot to try to assassinate Elizabeth. So she lived in fear that she could be beheaded, and so she did everything she could, compromise everything she could to keep her head and the crown that sat on it.
Wasn't she technically Protestant, though?
She was, I think she was nothing.
Okay.
I think she was not Roman Catholic, but I think she identified with the Protestants because that's where her power was.
Right.
And also she needed the Protestants because the great enemy of England in the last half of the 1500s, the great enemy of England was Spain, which was Roman Catholic, and they had the powerful navy, and she was afraid that the Spanish navy, the Spanish Armada, was going to come against England to destroy the Reformation. So that was the intent. So the Spanish Armada came to the shores of England in all its might. And England gathered all of the ships and boats of whatever kind it could. And it withstood the assault of the mighty Spanish Armada. And God ended the assault with a great storm that almost wiped out the whole Armada. Many ships were sunk. Many of the Spanish sailors had to wind up on the shores of Ireland. And that's why a lot of Irish people have olive skin and dark hair, because of their Spanish background. So the Spanish Armada was defeated. The kingdom of England was saved. Elizabeth continued to appoint Protestants to places of power. And then she died just after the 17th century began. Now, before we get to that part, in 1536, a young Frenchman by the name of John Calvin wrote one of the greatest books ever written in French, not only because of its theological content, but because it was the first great book to ever be written in French. And it has a history in French literature apart from its theological influence. And that was called The Institutes of the Christian Religion. When he first wrote it, it was only one short volume. If you can find it, get it. It was reprinted 20 or so years ago, 30 or 40 years ago. And it's great to read. He kept revising The Institutes of the Christian Religion until close to his death, close to 1560. And so it's now two volumes. And everybody that's a Christian should get those two volumes.
And you could get it at cvbbs.com. I thought I'd throw it out there. CVBBS.
All right, that is great. And read it. It's Institutes or Fundamentals, Institutes of the Christian Religion. It was translated into English. He'd first written it in Latin and French. It was translated into England in the late middle 16th century. And it went through at least nine editions by 1611 when the King James Version was translated. And I own a copy of the original 1611 Institutes of the Christian Religion.
Wow.
And if you want to get 20,000 years off purgatory, come to my house and touch it. So Calvin's Institute had a great influence on the creation of Puritanism. Puritanism is what grew out of the original Protestant Reformation in the middle 16th century. Puritanism dominated the late 16th century and throughout the 17th century in England. Puritanism had some of the greatest men in the history of the church as preachers in it. And Puritanism had as its goal a clean sweep of England. It wanted to sweep out of England's church, out of England's society, anything that wasn't solidly based upon the Word of God and that recognized the kingship of Christ. They wanted to make a clean sweep of everything and purify everything, hence Puritan. Purify everything in England, doctrine, economy, politics, particularly church life. And for a century, they continued to advance the Reformation in every area of life. But we'll come back to them. So Elizabeth dies. She's not married. She has no children. So she appoints her cousin, James Stuart of Scotland, to be the King of England. James Stuart had already been King of Scotland, and he was called King James VI of Scotland. So now at about 1603, something like that, he becomes the King of England and Scotland. And as the King of England, he is King James I. King James' mother was Mary, Queen of Scots, whom John Knox and the rest of the Scottish Reformed people found enough evidence on her to be convicted of murder and trying to replace Elizabeth, and so she has her head cut off. James I is her son. He never forgave the Calvinists. Even though as a young boy, the great Calvinists, like Knox, were his teachers. And he had an understanding of Calvinism. But he had a high view of the king. He believed what his ancestors taught, that the king is the head of the church. and that the king is above the law. His will is the law in church and state. Whatever he wills is law. The church's doctrine, the church's liturgy, the church's government, everything must be in submission to the head of the church, who is the king. The thing about James I is, he was not only a dictator. He not only hated the Scottish Presbyterians, many of whom he had sent to South Carolina as slaves on plantations, and they died in obscurity there. And some musicologists did a study of Negro spirituals with the tunes the Scottish Presbyterians sang the Psalms by, and they saw a clear relationship. So these godly old Scottish Presbyterians that James would send into slavery and obscurity taught the various African slaves on how to sing their music. So the great weakness of James is he was a blatant homosexual. He was not afraid to talk about it.
Wow.
He always had some fellow homosexual on his arm. And when he was asked to fend it from the Bible, he said, Jesus had his John and I have my Buckingham.
Wow. I didn't know it was that blatant, because King James only advocates tend to say that was all myth.
No, I guarantee it was not.
Wow.
King James was married to this woman and had children, but he was famous even then as well as now for his homosexuality. And he, if you want to read a great book on the Reformation and on James, get the book called The Great Christian Revolution by Otto Scott. The Great Christian Revolution by Otto Scott. And if you want to get a whole biography of James I, which goes into all of this stuff, get Otto Scott's biography of James I. So Otto Scott, The Great Christian Revolution, and Otto Scott on James I. So James I would try to get the Scottish Church to submit to his Anglican liturgy, his Anglican doctrine, and to submit to his supremacy as the head of the church. And of course, the Scottish Church wouldn't do it. There was a lot of persecution during those days. James sent Anglican bishops to be bishops in the Presbyterian Church of Scotland, which, of course, was intolerable. And I would like to spend more time on him, wicked as he was. I told you that the John Knox congregation in Geneva had translated the Bible into English and called the Geneva Bible. And it was the most popular Bible in England. It was the first study Bible, in fact. The translation, you would think, was written, if you didn't know better, you'd think it was written in today's English. It didn't have the high Elizabethan language of the later King James. It was more in the language of the common man. And it had footnotes in the side margin and in the bottom margin explaining various paragraphs, various verses in the Bible. And so it spread. It taught people the Reformed faith. And King James didn't like it. So King James outlawed the publication of the Geneva Bible in England. And so they published it in Europe and would send it to England. And so King James says, I want a Bible that does not have the Calvinistic footnotes as the Geneva. I want a Bible that's not written in the common man's English, but a Bible that has high Elizabethan language that would fit into an Anglican liturgy. Now, King James only people don't realize that. That the King James was written in the style it was to be used in the Anglo-Catholic liturgy. And so he got the best Greek and Hebrew scholars in England to write him a new Bible. I translated it into English, get rid of the footnotes. And so he got the best scholars available, providentially, all of whom were Puritans. And so they translated the King James Version, which is one of the most accurate versions you can buy today. I hate the title, King James Version. But nevertheless, it is one of the most accurate translations of the Old and New Testaments that's available today throughout history. And so when they handed the new King James Version to His Majesty, these men's translator said, Your Majesty, you will love this translation because the word tyrant and tyranny did not occur anywhere in it. And so King James, it took a long time for the King James Version to replace the Geneva Bible because they loved it. And even before it replaced it, they came out with a copy of the King James Version with Geneva Bible footnotes. And that spread for a while. But eventually after generations, the King James Version did replace the Geneva Bible. Even though it was the Geneva Bible that the Puritans and the Pilgrims brought to this country and built our country on, it was not the King James Version. It was the Geneva Bible. And to commemorate that, there is a United States quarter. I own some of these. There is it's United States currency. It's a silver quarter. It was produced in 1921. On one side, it commemorates the Pilgrims and Plymouth Colony. On one side is the Mayflower. And on the other side is William Bradford, Governor of Plymouth, holding a Geneva Bible.
Wow.
And that's American currency.
Wow.
You'd have to pay a pretty penny to get it. But look on Google and places, see if you can find one. It is well worth having.
And you have some of these, right?
Yes.
And what is your address again?
that'll get you more years off purgatory. Now, I'm telling people on your show things I possess that are worth a great amount of money. Just to be on the safe side, I also want to assure your listeners that I own pistols. So, King James lives until about 1625.
And by the way, pick up where you left off because we have to go to our last break.
Now?
Yeah, we have to go to our final commercial break, so pick up where you left off.
Okay, go.
Yeah. All right, folks, please don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call my very dear friend of many years, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And one last time, I want to remind you quickly of this weekend's The Courageous Marriage Conference at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, featuring their keynote speaker, best-selling author, Dr. Joe Rigney. That's Friday and Saturday of this week, August 23rd and the 24th. To register, go to gracereformedbaptistchurch.org, gracereformedbaptistchurch.org, and if you call them at the phone number on that website, they will be able to work with you if you cannot afford the registration fee. That's gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. We're now back with Dr. Joe Moorcraft. And Dr. Moorcraft, we may have to turn this into a two-part interview, but when we went to the commercial break, you were about to talk about the death of King James.
Yes, sir. Let me tell you one more thing in his life, and that'll take the rest of the time. When he was alive, in 1619... one of the most important meetings in the history of Christianity took place in Europe. The Reformation had spread all over Northern Europe, transformed Northern Europe. But there was a group of people that on the surface acted like they believed in the great doctrines of the Reformation. But in private, they would spread false doctrine. And that was led by a man named Arminius, and his followers were called Arminians. And whereas the Reformation faith was God-centered, believed that man is a slave to his sin until he's set free by the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit, these people were man-centered, and they took God out of the center of theology and placed man. And so in 1619, at a place in Holland called Dort, D-U-R-T. These men were brought to account before all of the Reformed churches of Europe. All the Reformed churches had representatives there, all the Reformation churches, except France, because the Catholic kings of England, of France, would not allow the Calvinists to go to a synod or assembly of Dort. So this was representative of the whole world of the Reformation, except for Lutherans, of course. And they brought these Arminians before the whole assembly. They tried to get Arminius himself there, but when they called him to meet before the whole assembly, he died of a heart attack.
Wow.
And so his followers were there. And then they called upon his followers to answer for what they believed. They were arrogant. And, of course, their answers were shallow and wrong in their interpretation of Scripture. So the Synod of Dort, representing all the world of Reformation in Europe, found them guilty of teaching false doctrine, had all the preachers expelled from the ministry. And Holland went even farther and had all of the Arminian preachers expelled from citizenship to Holland. And they were trying to cleanse the church of this cancer of Arminianism. And the whole church, the whole Reformed Church of Europe, I want to impress you with that, stood against them. But what Arminius and his people believed, what the entire Reformed Church of the Reformation centuries condemned as heresy, is the most popular theology of evangelicals today in the 21st century. So what most evangelicals believe in the 20th century as to what the gospel is, was condemned by the entire Reformed Church of the 17th century in Europe as heresy. That shows you how far we've fallen.
Yeah, in fact, most Baptists were Calvinists.
But one last point.
Sure.
You remember how God uses in his sovereignty somebody as tyrannical and lecherous as Henry VIII to bring Reformation to England. Guess who called the Synod of Dort?
Who is that?
James the First.
Huh.
That great tyrant and pervert, James the First, called upon the Reformed churches of Europe to condemn what Arminius was speaking.
Wow.
Well, God is a sovereign God.
Hallelujah. And brother, we are out of time. And we never even came close to 1660, I don't think. So
I think my wife was supposed to tell you the 16th century.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to make sure that we correct that.
I'm talking about next time.
All right. And by the way, I want to make sure that our listeners have all the websites affiliated with you. HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com is the website for Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And then we also have the website of your 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity. That website is westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. And for all of Dr. Moorcraft's books and other writings and anything connected with him in a broader scope, go to comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Moorcraft, for being such an absolutely superb guest, as you always are. I look forward to your return to the show. And once again, I thank you and your lovely wife and your congregation from the bottom of my heart for your generosity that you always extend toward Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, keeping us on the air through your financial support. I can never thank you enough, brother.
It's an honor.
And, folks, I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. I'm looking forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guests tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Good night, and God bless you all.